And hello, everybody, and welcome to Talking Baseball on this Saturday. And I hope you're safe and sound wherever you are. Well, we thought we'd be having Game 3 of the Giants and Padres series. It would have been a good game today, Kevin Gausman and Lamet for the Padres. But last night, as you know, just before, the Giants were ready to take the field against the Padres. Things came to a halt. There is a member of the Giants team that has tested positive, at least yesterday. Let's hope it may be a false positive, but it was a positive. And the game was canceled last night. Today is canceled. We haven't heard about tomorrow yet, but as everyone has said, more than likely the game tomorrow will be canceled, and who knows when the Giants will be on the field again. So we're still here to talk baseball. We've got a good show for you, but unfortunately we don't have a game today. Giants are a hot team. They're playing great baseball and really looking forward to this Padres series. The first game of the series, the Padres used a long ball. Not Trevor Cahill around, but Drew Smyly brought himself back on the major league level and had a terrific relief outing, so that was good. But then we got the news last night about what was going on. So glad to be with you today. Glad to be back after a couple of weeks of rehab for me. I'm glad to be back with you today. And, of course, joined by, and I can't thank him enough, and I'm very happy to do these shows with him as well, and that is my dear friend Bill Lasky. Bill, how are you today?
Well, first off, Marty, welcome back. I know Giant fans, including myself, want to hear that voice, and I'm very happy to hear you're back, and I know Giant fans are thrilled, too, and looking forward to doing this pregame show with you. I know we got a great show ahead of us, and just a little worried of what's going down in San Diego, and, you know, when the Giants left San Francisco playing real good baseball, they had a hiccup on Friday. I was looking forward to yesterday's game with Cueto and Richards, and then, of course, today would have been another good pitching matchup. But now we wait. Now we're on the stall factor, and when are they going to start again? And hopefully whoever has the COVID-19 is feeling better by the day, and it hasn't spread, and I think that's the number one concern.
Yeah, safety and getting everyone safe. Giants playing great baseball. They've got a wild card spot right now. But, boy, these next 15 games are going to be something to see how they're made up and to watch the other division. So that is September baseball. So there's no one better to talk baseball with than the third base coach of the San Francisco Giants, the professor Ron Wotus.
Time now to go to Sunday school with the professor. Giants third base coach Ron Wotus with Marty Lawrence.
I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper.
On your home of Giants baseball.
Good answer. Like the way you think.
KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Brought to you by River Islands, one of the country's top-selling master plan communities just across the Altamont in Lathrop. Where else can you live on a lake, next door to a park, or walking distance to your kid's new school? With 10 new neighborhoods, River Islands is the one place you can't afford to miss.
All right. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. I'd rather be on the lake fishing right now than waiting out a COVID test. And, Ron, whoa, what do you think about that?
Marty, it's great to have you back on the show. Sinker, slider, bone chip, good to be with you. And I can't agree more, Marty. I'm quarantined in the Omni Hotel, lovely hotel, but I think I'd rather be at River Islands on their property with everything they have to do there opposed to sitting in my room here waiting for us to play baseball.
Well, of course, it's great to have you and just to talk to you. I love it. What happened last night? Just to bring us up to date. I saw you on TV talking on the phone and hopefully calling Lori, letting her know what was going on. But it was almost surreal there. God, I hate to say it, but it reminded me of 89 at the World Series and the earthquake. Everyone sort of standing around not knowing what to do. Tell us from your standpoint sort of what went down last night.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, if 2020 couldn't get any weirder for everybody, it certainly did for us. You know, with all these protocols in place, and now that we're almost 2 months into the season, you know, I think as a group, we were feeling very confident in the protocols. You know, you almost start to forget about what we've been going through in the virus, because we are tested every other day and sometimes twice a day. And you just feel like MLB and the Giants have done a great job with all this. And then here we are 15 minutes before the game and you get the news and you're really in shock. You know, I think that was the expression that everybody had, was shock and disbelief. Nobody saw this coming. You know, nobody had any symptoms. And as soon as they said a player tested positive, well, you know, we were just ready to take the lineup cards out to the umpire. And boom, that was it. You know, call the Major League Baseball, and the game was canceled. We were all ushered out of the ballpark, back to the hotel, preferred that we didn't shower there. You know, they want to do a deep clean of the clubhouse there because they don't know, you know, if it spread or it did not. That's just the protocol. But, you know, I'm hopeful, too, that maybe it was a false positive. Because you never know. That's a possibility as well as we continue to wait and see what happens next.
Well, Ron, I know you're isolated in your hotel room, and I know you've got a good movie channel in front of you. So I ordered you some extra popcorn, some red licorice, and some of the sweet and sour candy you like. So that should be brought up to your room just in case that you can't get out, and I know there'll be a couple good movies to watch later today.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it. I'll be looking forward to that.
Hey, well, have you hit room service hard? Now, what have you done room service-wise?
Well, a little bit. I just had breakfast this morning. You know, they don't want us leaving our room. Of course, we got tested last night. People would, you know, probably be interested to know that last night, about 8:30, we convened. Everybody went down and, you know, one by one, and we had the nasal swab, which is more immediate. And I know myself, I tested negative. And then this morning I had to get up, and at 9:45, we got tested again with the spit test, which takes about 24 hours to 30 hours to get the results back. So, you know, they're doing their due diligence. In the meantime, I'm waiting on the popcorn and the licorice, and we'll see what kind of movies. I see we have the Joker on here. It's a dark movie. I haven't seen it, so I might have to go with the Joker.
That's a rough one. Yeah, that's not a happy movie. Not a happy movie.
Well, it fits right into the way things have been going this year with the fires and the COVID.
You know, Ron, you know, watching on television, we watched a lot of the players and the coaches come out, and he said, you know, they didn't want you to shower there. The protocol was just to get the hell out of there. Is that kind of what they wanted you to do?
Pretty much it. I mean, look, you know, we're right next to the ballpark. They just want to get people out of the indoor environment that we've been in as quickly as possible. And you know, it wasn't a scatter to get out of there, obviously. We kept some people outside so other people could go in and change and get out of the ballpark, and then we went in. But it really is surreal, as I said, because, you know, we feel very comfortable and confident, and it's just a shock to hear that you have a positive test, and then these wheels are set in motion, and now everything's disrupted. You know, I'm sure the Padres are not happy as well. They're fighting for the division lead. We're fighting for the wild card. And, you know, we may end up having to play three doubleheaders back to back to back, and nobody wants that.
Mm. Boy, amazing. Well, let's talk a little baseball. Well, all we can do is wait for the results, and let's hope it's all positive. It's going to take a few days. That's clear from the precedent that we've had before. But let's talk a little ball. A couple of things, God, I have so many things to talk to you about. It's been a pleasure just to know that you're going to be on with us today for a bit. Let's talk a little bit about Drew Smyly. He came back, and Cahill got whacked around pretty good. But Smyly came in well, and that was a very big plus for the team, for what could be coming in the future over these next 15 games. What were your thoughts on Smyly?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right, Marty. I thought he threw the ball extremely well. San Diego obviously has a really tough ball club. They have power, they have speed, they have pitching. And Smiles came in and kept the game in check for a number of innings, his first outing since the blister. So he's going to help us, you know, and when he helps the rotation, that can strengthen the bullpen as well. So it's great to have him back. You know, Shark is very, very close as well. But I thought Drew Smyly, for his first time on the mound against a tough lineup, did an outstanding job.
You know, Ron, one of the things besides their offense and their bullpen that jumps out at me is 42 stolen bases the San Diego Padres have right now. And it's not just one or two guys. It's spread up from 1 through 9 when you look at this lineup. The Giants have 15. This is something that just opened my eyes up as finally somebody's starting to use the stolen base again. And, of course, the San Diego Padres are putting people in on second and third on double steals. What do you think of that implement for the Padres?
Yeah, no, it makes them a better team. Look, Bill, you know better than anybody whether you're in the playoffs or you're facing, you know, a real good pitcher. Good pitching gets good hitters out. That's been proven over the history of the game, and I don't think that is going to change. So if you can pitch and it's going to be a close game, you're just not going to pound the ball and score runs. You have to find other ways to score. And we've seen it here in San Francisco. And we had, you know, Marty, one of your favorite in the bullet, Darren Ford, or stealing bases, Eugenio Velez. And the point is, when you're in close games, you got to find ways to score runs. And they put pressure on you, not to mention the pressure it puts on the pitching staff, have to worry about the runner going and making your pitch. You know, I can't really speak to that enough to the fan base listening, because it's very easy. It's much easier, Bill, and you can speak to this, to pitch when you don't have a rabbit on base, that you have to worry about unloading the ball to the plate quicker. And when you do those types of things, a breaking ball doesn't break as much. You rush a pitch, your concentration is divided, and then, you know, one of the hitters hits the ball in the gap. So it's another dimension, I think, that, you know, not that it's talked about a lot, but I would certainly welcome it. I know we would, to have speed and players that can run the bases like the Padres do.
Well, one way to stop it is to pick them off. And you got a guy, Tyler Anderson, that picks people off just about every game. I think he's leading the league in doing it. Reminds me of just a quick story. I want to ask you about Anderson and why he's so effective. But Len Sicata, remember Len Sicata, Woe?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Sure. He's back with us. He signed back to manage in San Jose again this year. Of course, the season was halted. But, yes, Lenny, absolutely.
Yeah, he was the emergency catcher, the story before, back in 1980. And it got to the 10th inning. They had to put him in. It's like putting Pablo in the catch or something like that.
Right.
And Tippy Martinez was the pitcher. And the first guy got on, and Tippy picked him off. Second guy got on, Tippy picked him off. Third guy got on, Tippy picked him off. Sicata never caught a pitch. That was it. And he got out, and they then ended up, he hit a 3-run homer to win the game. And that was Len Sicata's moment. But it reminded me of Len Sicata with Tyler Anderson. So, well, what makes Anderson so tough? Because they talk about it on TV, he's close to a balk move, but, boy, he hangs people out to dry. They're flat-footed when he's on the hill.
First of all, Marty, only you could come up with a story like that. I've never heard that, and I've known Lenny for a lot of years. It's great to hear and have you back on. But to Anderson, his pickoff move, you know, he hangs and he can see the runner what he's doing, and it's hard to steal a base on him because he hangs so long, and when he comes down, it's a tough read, and the players that are aggressive and want to try to steal on him will get picked off because they're pushing the envelope. You know, not many teams have been able to steal on him in first base because of his move. And at second base, he's a little more vulnerable. But, you know, the good thing for him is he mixes in the slide step and he does some other things. But he, you're right, he has picked a lot of guys off. We've seen Johnny Cueto pick a couple guys off. So we've done okay in that area. And Tyler Anderson certainly has one of those left-handed moves to keep you close.
You know, well, coaching third base is a lot about angles and cutoffs and where the ball goes in between gaps. Petco Park is a difficult ballpark, and I see you coming way down the line a lot. Why is that park different coaching third base than, say, Oracle Park or other fields?
Yeah, Bill, that's a great question. You know, we actually told our base runners, you know, the first day in here, you know, the grass is real low. It's a different type of grass. It's like a carpet or an AstroTurf, you know, and it's quick. And so, first of all, you want to make sure you get good secondary leads and base hits to the outfield. because, you know, they have some arms out there. The ball gets to the outfielder quicker, and they're able to throw you out. So you really have to be on your game. You know, at our park, we have longer grass. It's damp. There's a bigger alley in right center field, so outfielders tend to play a little bit deeper. Here, they don't have to play as deep, and when the outfielder's not as deep, that puts more pressure on you. Colorado is a place outfielders play very deep. You very seldom see a guy thrown out on a base hit to the outfield in Colorado because they have to play so deep with that thick grass. So you're right. Every park's a little different. Here in L.A. are the two parks that are probably it's more concerning if they have some arms in the outfield because of the speed of the field, and the outfielders can play a little shallower.
Well, whoa, you got one of your big fans texting me already, and, of course, you know that's Jose Aguacil, who's listening listening to the show, and he loves it. And he says, how come Woe is not talking about why that's not a balk move? So Augie is on you, Woe.
He is. Well, we can't give away all the secrets. Augie knows that better than anybody. So we'll just we'll leave that one alone today, anyways, Augie.
Yeah, he's listening. He loves it, though. We got to get him on, right? Well, we got to get him on with you.
Yes. Yes, he needs to be on the show. We miss Augie, and he's doing such a great job up in Sacramento running that thing up there for us with our secondary location. You know, we've utilized a lot of guys back and forth in the taxi squad, guys going back and forth. And, you know, it's tough duty up there. They've been basically scrimmaging and practicing for 2 months, and it gets monotonous. But the guys have been ready, and the guys that we've pulled from there have contributed. So it's been a good deal.
I like it. Hey, well, let's talk Joey Bart for a second, because that's the second part of keeping the running game in check. How's Bart doing?
He's doing good. You know, I'm pleasantly surprised how well he receives the ball. I think that, you know, his experience here in the big leagues, he's only going to get better as time goes by. I mean, it's a tough time to be a catcher when you think about all the signs you have to put down, the plan that, you know, the pitching coaches and the analysts devise for the catcher. It's a little harder than it was years ago, where a catcher would, you know, use his feel, reading the swings. Now they still do those things, but, you know, when you were in doubt, right, Bill, where did you throw the ball? Down and away, where they can do the least amount of damage. But now, you know, people want pitchers to throw certain pitches, their best pitches in certain areas. So they really have to know the game plan. And then you put runners out at second base, and you have to change the signs constantly because everybody's relaying signs to the hitter. That's another thing. When Bill pitched, all he did was stick somebody in the ribs for teeth, and it was the end of it. But now we got four different sets of signs. The catcher's got to point. The pitcher's got to pull the card out of his pocket. So there's a lot going on for a catcher in this point in time, and he's receiving the ball very well. Haven't had to throw all that much, but he has the arm strength, and looking forward to seeing him, you know, have to make some of those plays.
Well, sticking to catching, Ron, I see where Gabe Kapler said that certain pitchers shouldn't have certain catchers, and we're starting to see a little bit more with Chadwick Trump catching Mr. Johnny Cueto, Mr. Entertainer. One of the things I like is that have that catcher to work with certain pitchers, to have that same kind of mindset and knowing what to do and what they don't do. And last game, Chadwick Trump's making Johnny do this shiver and shake out there. He was even showing him, hey, do a shake for me. I mean, these things have to work. And, you know, we go back in so many different times in our era with pitchers, you know, throwing to certain catchers. We knew that, and they didn't care about the offense. They wanted them to work with the pitchers. Do you agree with this move, what Gabe Kapler's doing? Do you have any insight on that? And are they going to probably do this the rest of the year?
Well, yeah, I do agree with it, and I believe in it as well. Look, you know, the pitcher's got to be in sync with the catcher, and they have to be comfortable with each other. You know, the starting pitcher is probably the most important player on the field in a particular game, and if he's not in sync with the catcher or is not comfortable throwing to the catcher, you know, the signs don't jive. That breaks concentration. It makes it a little more difficult. So, you know, that's been going on since baseball began, and it's a perfect scenario for us because, you know, Joey Bart's going to need off days, And Chadwick Trump is going to need to, you know, be ready to play, you know, once or twice a week, whatever it is. And he works well with Johnny Cueto. They work well together. So it's a good marriage. But yeah, we know how important it is, for the pitcher, to feel good about it. You know, we've been swinging the bat. So, you got to hold the other team from scoring too. So that's just as important when you're thinking about the game plan.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You got to feel better when Trump is catching because Bart is hitting rockets at you. And one you tried to catch the other day. I couldn't believe it. But I'm telling you, Bart, you put the ball on the inside part to Bart. And he hits those ground balls well. You better get a glove down there.
Oh, you're right. You and Bill are both on me about this. I'm going to just stand a little bit deeper. But we do have some guys getting ahead of the bat out there and whistling them down at me. And you're right. Joey hit one. He hit one a couple weeks back when he first came up. I mean, I didn't even see the thing. It was hit so hard.
Boy, good. All right, Woe, stick with us. Of course, Ron Woe is our third base coach of the Giants in quarantine, really, in the Omni Hotel down in San Diego. As we await word as to what the rest of this weekend is going to look like, and especially the early part of the week, but we've got a lot more to talk about. One is Pablo Sandoval, Woe, and you've been with him since the beginning, and of course the Giants released him this week. I want to get your thoughts on that and much more, which we will do right after this, right here on KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.
Talking baseball with Marty Lurie on KMBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Fans, I talk about River Islands a lot, and I know we have to wear our masks, we have to wash hands and be socially distanced, but we still can enjoy the outdoors. And when you live in an area that you can walk out your front door and enjoy the outdoors, it's even more special. RiverIslands.com. River Islands, one of the most dramatic, successful master plan communities in the state of California. And we thank Susan Deloso and Colleen Edwards and Brittany Heiss and everyone for what they do. But check them out online, riverislands.com. You can look at all the floor plans, the different houses. There's a downtown center that's going to be coming soon, the schools and everything else. It is unique. It is unique. And so many people work from home now. River Islands is a whole different perspective for the Bay Area now. So in Lathrop, just east of Tracy, River Islands is the place to go. So check them out online, riverislands.com.
KMBR's Giants pregame continues. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
All right, nice to have you back with us. Bill Lasky, of course, here with us today, and a third base coach of the Giants, Ron Wotus, down in San Diego. No game today, more than likely no game tomorrow. A positive COVID test, right? And now we're just waiting to see what is going to happen. Well, yeah, I just heard that Lenardi's spot, Bill, and I'll tell you this, I love Lenardi's. And, well, you live out near Lenardi's. You ever go over there?
Oh yeah, all the time. I'm less than 2 miles away, and I'm there. That's where I go to do my shopping. And
thank you both
great,
of you. That was very
place.
Nice.
Yeah,
very
yeah
nice
they are the best.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not kidding. I've been in there a lot over the last couple of weeks, and I think Lenardi's is terrific. And I did want to make sure I said that today. Hey, well, Pablo. Of course, an emotional attachment to the Bay Area. You were there from the beginning and all the ups and downs of Pablo as a young man and the great 2012 playoff. And I just did a greatest game in Giants history today. I just sent it over to Raf this afternoon. And, you know, against the Reds, a big home run in Game 4, the Zito-Lincecum game, and then the Verlander game. Pablo just meant so much to the Bay Area, and now he is gone, and the end of an era. So I'd love to get your thoughts about him.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Pablo. It was a tough day. You know, honestly, as you said, you know, I was here when he first showed up as a bright-eyed young man. And you think about the career he's had with the San Francisco Giants and 3 world championships. He was such a big part of everything we did. And with the fans, the panda hats, the personality, and the things that stand out most to me is he loved to play this game of baseball. You know, it's like the Love of the Game Productions that you have, Marty, there is, and you appreciate that when people love to play. He never copped an attitude when he wasn't playing, especially here at the end. He did whatever the ball club wanted. He was going to go behind the plate the other day for us, if need be, whatever it takes. And that's a special player and a special person. And you don't forget people like that. I know the Giants fans will never forget him. And it was a tough day for me. You know, it makes you think about, you know, him when he was younger and all that he accomplished. And you hate to see such a great career come to end, but it happens to everybody. And I have to say this, since Augie's listening, you know, he wouldn't have been the defender if it wasn't for Jose Alguacil. And he was very fortunate that Augie was there from the very beginning, because he put more time in with him as a young man when they were converting him from a catcher to an infielder, and being a father type figure and helping him as a major league player, and all the workouts before spring training and all the, you know, losing the weight and all the drills he had to do over the course of his career. So sentimental player for me. I know it is for Augie. A great career and a great Giant.
You know, Ron, Pablo did so much for the Giants organization before he left for Boston, and in coming back, and the open arms that the Giants had, players as well as organization, and bringing him back with Bruce Bochy. I read a ton of great articles that a lot of the Northern California writers wrote, as well as national writers. And one writer wrote that Panda was one of the final ones from the 2010 World Series. He said that Buster Posey was the Lone Ranger. He was the only player left from the 2010 World Series team. And then the next sentence, it said, the eldest coach, Ron Wotus, is also part of that. So I wanted to make sure I knew what eldest meant. So I went to the Webster Dictionary, and eldest said the greatest of age, and in parentheses it said oldest. So I just wanted to make sure that you knew that you were the eldest coach on Giants team.
Well, I appreciate that, but I don't think you realize you're older than me. So
I don't. I had to bring that up. Come on.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We've had a good run, and it happens to all of us. But to your point, I'm so happy that Pablo got the press that he did. You know, it was bittersweet when he left and he went to Boston, yeah. and it wasn't a great time. But you understand it. He had a chance to be a free agent and the lure of Boston and all that. But, you know, he did come back to his home, so to speak, and he finished his career with the team he probably should have. And I don't know, maybe he'll get picked up by somebody else, but I think it's a difficult time the way the game is right now for that to happen.
You know, well, before we leave, Pablo, you know, the images, and you do such a good job of creating images for people. But as a young man, that swing, he hit it 330. I mean, the guy crushed the ball early on, and, of course, you got the home runs in the World Series. But just what an athlete he was, and just what you saw originally, because he was a catcher, too. So give us some images of the early Pablo and what you thought when you first saw him. Did you say, hey, how's this guy ever going to play?
Well, exactly, Marty. I think he's one of those guys that you see for the first time that's similar to a Tim Lincecum. You hear about how hard this guy throws, and there he is, you know, 140 pounds, soaking wet, small in stature, and you're going, wow, you know, this guy's a freak. But when you saw Pablo as a young guy, short, stocky, strong, you know, but he didn't have a typical baseball body, but his athleticism, you know, it's like Big Daddy who pitched for the Giants, right? Mm-hmm. Could really field his position, great athlete. And Pablo was always that, had great first step quickness, good hands and an accurate arm. But I can picture him right now at Scottsdale Stadium when he first came over, when I first saw him. You know, that image is still in my head because it's so recognizable to certain players, and Pablo was one of them, just like Tim Lincecum was. And it's interesting that you say that, but you'll never forget Pablo Sandoval.
You know, one of the things, Ron, that we didn't know, and this came out recently right before Pablo got DFA'd, was all his thoughts about his family back in Miami that had COVID-19, and every time Gabe Kapler said it was a personal issue, and nobody really pushed it out of him, and then finally he opened up on it. you know, all the families worry about the players in COVID-19, and here's a more pressure point for Pablo, having his whole family in Florida, and just listening to all the little things that were went on for his two little girls and his wife going into hospital a couple of times. Tell us your thoughts, how he tried to keep that private and how he kind of kept it together.
Yeah, well, Bill, I think for all of us that play this game, you know, going to the ballpark has always been a place where you can put your, you know, your personal problems or your issues aside, because if you don't, you can't do your job, and it gives you a few hours of peace. But we know internally, that's just tearing you up. You're at work and your family's sick. You can't be there. It's such a horrible time with this COVID and people losing their lives and people being sick, and you can't be there with them. That really touches me to think that this goes on. And it's hard. It was hard for Pablo, but he got through it. Thank goodness his family got through it. You know, I'm not going to mention any names, but we've had more people on this team than people would realize affected by the COVID and family members. And we all have to go to work. We have to make the living. But those are the things that happen in your personal life that this game takes you away from. And that's one of the most difficult things about the game of baseball, being a professional athlete. You know, your time away from your family and real life issues that come up, and you just can't leave the team like you would maybe in another job. So, it's a tough time for players when they have to deal with that. Let's just hope, you know, the player tested positive here, that his family is okay as well, and everybody's safe.
Well, Augie's still listening, Woe, and his comment on what you just said was relations, communication, the key to success.
Yes. Well, he's right. You know, you have to have a relationship and be able to communicate with the player, and he had that relationship with Pablo. And, you know, it benefited Pablo tremendously, and I know Augie had a lot of joy watching Pablo have the career that he had. You know, he was a throwback. Look at the way this guy hit, huh? A bad ball hitter. You don't look for those guys today, do you? You want them to control the strike zone. But when Pablo was up there, you know he was going to do some damage because he was swinging, and you had to get him out because he was going to get his hacks in.
Boy, I'm glad we talked about him. Well, I'll tell you another one that's sort of growing on me a little bit, and that's Mauricio Dubon. And I realize, and, you know, I watch the games on TV and listen to Dwayne and Mike, and they know so much about baseball. Talking about his first step as a center fielder, sort of comes in instead of goes back, and he made a great catch the other night. But he's starting to grow on me a little bit, and there's that enthusiasm. I realize he's just a kid, but he is different than everybody else, just the way he plays and the way he approaches the game. He's got some power. And I said, boy, he needs a good course with the professor. He needs to really get his baseball skills down. But Dubon is starting to grow on me.
Yeah, you know, he's a lot like Pablo and the enthusiasm and the energy that he brings to the ball club. And he is making a lot of adjustments. Bill and I spoke about him last week when you're on the show, and he has been improving. But his energy is contagious. He's played an outstanding center field for us. He really hasn't done that on a consistent basis his whole career. And, yeah, you know, all the little techniques here and there, the base running, he's still a work in progress, and he'll tell you. You know, the good players in this game never stop trying to get better and improving their game. And I think he's done a tremendous job, really, in center field for the limited experience that he had. And he's holding his own at the plate. And I just hope he can continue to make adjustments and hone his game and his skills at this major league level, because this is a tough level to play at. You know, no matter what you did in the minor leagues, this is a tough league, and you really have to keep getting better and trying to get better if you want to stay in the major leagues and be the player or get the most out of your ability, I should say.
Ron, the Giants have hit 61 home runs, 61. I mean, a number that is just remarkable from the number itself, as well as doing so well at Oracle Park. But there's been 61 people that came around third base, and you haven't touched one of them. You haven't given them a high five, a low five. But I'm starting to see like a foot kick, a fake fist pump. You know, do you do you kind of work with this with these guys? Do you kind of come up with a plan of what you're going to do when they come around third?
Yeah, Bill, I've actually asked a couple of them because you don't know what they do. They're coming around. You got to do something. You got to, clap or high five. And we screwed up a few of those. I think I gave a fist bump. He gave a high five. But you have to be coordinated. You know, it is on TV. You don't want to look bad. So,
and we're not watching it. Marty and I don't watch it. You know,
I was going to say this. It's amazing, whoa, how much we watch. Isn't this ridiculous? I mean, you're trying to be innocuous, but we're watching every move you make.
Well, it's great that the games are on TV. I know football's starting now, and people are cooped up at home, and of course, we love baseball, so we're going to watch it. But that's great. That's great to hear that everybody's engaged. And, hopefully we can get through the season and get this thing back going here soon where it doesn't affect also the playoffs and the World Series.
Yeah, we can talk about that. We've got a little more time with you about the bubble that they're talking about for the playoffs. It's really not a bad idea. But I want to touch on this before we go to the break, and Bill, of course, can follow up too. It was Roberto Clemente Day this Wednesday, and you were a former Pittsburgh Pirate. What did Clemente mean to you and to the organization, even though you got there somewhat after he was gone?
Yeah, well, he was, he was one of the figures in the organization. You knew who he was. They actually had a room in Pirate City, which I've stayed in the spring. It was the Roberto Clemente room, and he meant everything to that organization. You know, the great scout, Howie Haig, was scouted in Latin America exclusively, and they pulled so many players from Latin America, and Clemente was one of the main reasons that they loved those Latin players so much. And I remember with the Pirates, the Oakland A's used to lift weights and do all that stuff when I was playing with the Pirates, and the Pirates weren't into the weights, and they always talked about the Latin American players. They didn't have weights, they just played baseball. They played more baseball. They're always on the field, and they kind of had that philosophy. And Roberto Clemente, it's great to see that they honor him every year for the player that he was and certainly the humanitarian that he was.
You know, I wanted to bring up another point. My last question here is Major League Baseball hosts the Childhood Cancer Awareness Weekend over Labor Day where they did the yellow wristbands. And it's Childhood Cancer Awareness Day. We know Buster Posey puts a lot of time and effort into it. I see you wearing the yellow wristbands, Ron. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts of what Major League Baseball is doing to being aware of this childhood cancer.
Yeah, I think it's tremendous. I mean, it's certainly a soft spot for me and my wife, Lori, who we used to do fundraising wine pairing dinners down at Scott's in Oakland for the George Marx Children's House, which has a lot of cancer patients that go there. It's always been a place that's been special to Lori, and we've tried to raise money for the kids and their illnesses. So it's great to see Major League Baseball making people aware of this. It's just there's so many causes, and there's so many great causes. But when you think about kids having to go through this, and the parents and the families, having to watch their kids go through, what they have to go through in cancer and losing them, it's just an awful, awful illness for kids. So, I'm glad MLB is getting the word out and trying to make more awareness about how everybody can help.
Well, good point. Well, I got a nice text from Mike Phillips in Maui, enjoying the show. Remember Mike?
Oh, Mike, he texts me all the time. He sends me pictures of the sunset and then the whales jumping and all that when I'm in a doubleheader. He just doesn't let up.
My good friend Mike Phillips in Maui. We'll take a break with Woe. I know you're not going anywhere, so if you hang in there a little bit longer with us, this way you don't have to watch The Joker for at least another 20 minutes or so.
Hey, Marty. Can you ask Mike to send me some of the pokey there from his restaurant's coconuts he has out there on the island? Yeah, I'm going to be in the hotel for a day or two here. He can ship it over.
Well, I really ask you, you hit room service as hard. There's no limit, right? You can hit room service for whatever you want, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah, sure, sure. I got, my wallet's real deep.
Very good. I want to talk a little, when we come back, Wilmer Flores, well, this guy, you put a ball on the inside part of the plate, it's like Edgar Martinez, the way he turns on a ball.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about him and Donnie Barrels, Solano. Anybody come to mind when we talk about this guy? So let's take a break. We'll come back with Ron Wotus, our third base coach, and the professor, Bill Lasky, here as well. No baseball. We're just waiting now to see what MLB does about the positive COVID test the Giants had last night, and we'll get more news. But we'll take a break. We'll come back with everybody right after this, right here on KBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.
Talking baseball with Marty Lurie on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Boy, what a weekend for baseball. And, God, if you're around the Bay Area, check out one of our nations at the 29, 30, 31 locations, wherever they are. Sacramento and the Thomas. Masks are required and, of course, social distancing and takeout and things like that. But for the great pies and for great afternoon lunch and dinner, breakfast, Grand Power does such a good job at Nations, and everything is locally grown, and all the vegetables and fruits local, the meat local as well. There's nothing like Nations. Very special. Nations is very special here in the Bay Area. I couldn't thank them enough for their support. And if you're around the Bay Area today, how about a nice Nations shake? That would go well with a piece of pie. You can tell I'm hungry. More coming up right here on the Sports Leader.
Now back to KNBR's Giants pregame. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
All right, nice to have you back with us here on this Saturday. Of course, we're waiting for baseball to make an announcement about the Giants and see when we'll have another game, and just keep our fingers crossed that everything goes well, and all we can do is wait. But what a season it's been so far. Really incredible. And I think baseball's done a great job so far to get to this position, and the Giants are, one of the best teams in baseball right now. And I've said it for the last few weeks, about a month ago, and I said they can certainly do some damage, and it looked like it was coming together. And the reason before Belt got hot and Crawford started playing well and Longoria got hot, a couple of guys, one is Flores and one is Solano. And, I want to touch on Flores especially, because just to watch this guy hit, and they go in on him, and he pulls those hands in, and he hits those rockets to left field. I think it's something else. I just get your thoughts on Flores now that you've seen him a lot more.
Yeah, he's always been a professional hitter. I mean, I remember when he played shortstop for the Mets years back, and, of course, he was in Arizona.
That must have been interesting, I will say that.
Yeah, you know what? He wasn't, I mean, we didn't see him a lot, but he was able to play shortstop. And, he's not that shortstop anymore, but he certainly upped his game at the plate. And we watched him last year in Arizona. And what he is he's a very smart hitter. You know, to be a good hitter, Felipe used to say it all the time, it's just not about your bat speed and your swing. It's about your plan. And hitting the pitch when you get your pitch, or knowing what your plan, you want your plan to be against a particular pitcher. You're not always going to, execute your plan or get the pitches you want to hit, but smart hitters do. They don't try to cover the whole plate. You know, he hunts pitches, and he's very good with the ball inside. And as you can see, he's at the top of our team in home runs, and you wouldn't look at him and say he's a home run hitter, but he can turn on that inside pitch. And he's just a quality hitter. He's a tough out, and he's always been a good hitter, and he keeps getting better. You know, as I said, I mean, I don't think I think he's having as good a year as he ever had, and he's getting a chance to play. You know, sometimes you just need the chance to play a little bit more regularly to get your swing going too.
You know, Ron, staying with Flores, 9 home runs, hitting .296, and that number just jumped at me, going 2-for-4 on Friday. But when you start looking in the middle of the order, where you got Solano .352 and then Brandon Belt .312, he had an 0-for-4 on Friday. The middle of the order, you're starting to do some damage. And when you get Yastrzemski on base, those are the kind of guys you want in that middle of the order, and they're starting to grow together where you got righty, lefty, righty, and then you can mix and match. How positive is that feeling when you can get those front runners on base?
Yeah, you're right, Bill. I mean, kind of it reminds me of back a few teams back. I think it was around 2002 and 3, where we had multiple hitters in the lineup. We had guys, you know, I think we had four or five players that hit 20 home runs, and you know, it's just not one or two guys doing the damage where you can pitch around them. We have multiple guys in our lineup who are hitting the ball out of the park, and they're driving in runs, and it makes it a tough lineup to navigate. You just can't pitch around a Buster Posey or a hot guy. You got someone else to contend with, so hitting's contagious that way. Everybody's getting better pitches to hit because we do have guys that can leave the park. You know, when you're throwing to a guy that's just a single hitter, you know, a single hitter, you don't worry about the damage so much. But, you know, you don't want to have to, you know, put guys on base and then face a guy that can hit the ball at the ballpark, because that crooked number will lean towards a loss for you. So, you know, I'll tell you what, Farhan has done a good job of putting his team together with hitters. You know, he went out and we were seeking offensive players, and it's paid dividends because that's how we're staying in games. We're scoring runs, and that's been one of the main reasons for our success.
What about Solano? Well, does he remind you of anybody in the past? I mean, this, they call him Donnie Barrels, and, you know, 3-for-4, 4-for-5, 2-for-3. I mean, the guy is incredible.
Yeah, he really is. You know, he gets the most out of his ability. I was trying to think of who he reminded me of, but he's pretty unique in his own right. You know, he's a contact hitter, obviously. He puts the bat on the ball. That's why we call him Donnie Barrels. But he's really developed into an outstanding hitter. It just amazes me that he does it every day. And again, it's his mental plan. You know, he's got a good swing, but it's not the swing. He's got a good plan. He knows how to hit, and you put that together with a good swing, and you have a Donnie Barrels.
Wow, amazing. All right, you'll appreciate these last couple. The Rays yesterday batted 9 pure left-handed hitters in the lineup for the first time in Major League history. 9 pure left-handed hitters hit in the lineup against Triggs, who used to be the Giant, the right-hander. And that's what Tampa Bay did yesterday. How about that?
Yeah, no, I saw that. You know, the coaches mentioned it to me yesterday. I saw Tampa Bay did it. And, you know, Tampa's real good at making news on things. I mean, it's interesting that they had 9 hitters. I guess if it was ever going to happen, it was going to happen with a 28-man roster. It makes it a little more possible anyways. But that's simply amazing to think that that's never happened. Here we go, year after year, and something always happens in this game that you never see before. It's just, it's amazing.
Yeah, 9-9. And so Triggs has gone after one inning, then they brought the lefty in, and they still hit him and won the game 11-1 or something like that.
Yeah, no, I saw that as well. And, you know, you talk about good hitters. You know, talking to Flores and even Solano, you know, we play this matchup game, right versus left. But if you talk to the hitters themselves, there's a lot of lefties they don't want to face. They'd rather face a righty. It's about the pitches that they throw and where they throw them. So we put a lot of right versus left, or don't have left versus left. But it's more about the pitches that are being thrown and where they throw them that gets hitters out.
Boy, interesting stuff. Whoa, it's great to have you on today. I appreciate you taking the time, and I hope everything works out and there are no more positive tests, maybe even a false positive, and get you guys back on the field, because you are in a pennant race. Believe this is September, and believe it or not, with this expanded playoff, it looks like it's successful at keeping the interest in. You are in quite a race, so this is going to be some September for you. Who knows where this is going? Who knows by next week where it'll be?
Well, we've proven it before. If we can get in, anything is possible. And you can project, and you know, the pundits can say you don't have the starters or you don't have the pen or whatever they want to say. But we all know anything's possible. Well, we just have to get there first. So that's the key for us.
All right, Ron, be safe. Be safe in San Diego for sure.
Yeah, be safe, and great having you on. Go ahead, Bill.
No, I was just going to say thank you so much for joining us today, Ron, and we put a little time into your clock there, but enjoy your popcorn and your red vines.
Hey, I appreciate it, because I'm going to leave you with this, because I got a call from Tim Flannery. You'd be interested to know. So he left the ranch in Santa Barbara, and then he called me about 2 hours ago, and he said he's on the bay in the boat. And he asked if I could see him from my room, because I'm looking right at the Coronado Bridge. And I didn't see him, but he was out there on the water so close. But since I'm in quarantine, we can't see each other. So I just thought that was a really odd moment for today. And that helped me pass a few minutes as well.
All right. Very good. Well, take care of yourself. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Good being with you. Thank you.
All right. That is our third base coach of the San Francisco Giants, and we always love talking about River Islands together as well. I'm sure he'd like to be out on a nice kayak today.